Let us pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and the one who saves us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When I first told my wife the title of my sermon, "Sometimes God Says Shut Up," she gave me that look like, "You know, it means I can't believe you're saying that." And I want to begin today by saying that I know better than to tell anyone to shut up. My parents drilled that into me and my brother when we were little, and Barbara and I drilled it into Trevor and Allison as well. However, in this story, we hear Peter going on about his little shrine-building idea, and God cuts him off, and in essence tells him to shut up and listen to what Jesus, the Son of God, has to say. You know, we often believe in the old adage, if you don't know what to do or say, do something to look busy or say something to fill the void of silence. And I think that's where we find Peter today. But I want to back up a bit. Every year, when a version of this story, because this story is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, whenever it comes around, I feel that I always have to state the obvious. This is a difficult passage to get our heads around. It doesn't fit in with our normal experiences in life. And today, I want you to hear this story as a story about prayer, a special kind of prayer, an experience of prayer. Now, you may believe the story as it actually happened, and that's good. That's wonderful. But many, many people in our pews have difficulty believing this story because it is so different from our experience, because it's so otherworldly. And to those people, I want to offer this understanding, which I think is the same, it means the same for us, whether you believe it in what I'm going to share with you, or whether you believe it actually happened as it did. Jesus often went up onto the mountaintop to pray. Generally, he went by himself. This time, he takes Peter, James, and John with him. And I picture Jesus praying. Maybe he's just off just a little bit by himself from the others. And he has this vivid prayer experience that includes Moses and Elijah. Two major religious figures from his religious tradition. Two people who had had experiences like he was going to experience, in terms of experience of dealing with difficult people and dealing with people who were out to take their lives. Moses had Pharaoh after him, and people grumbling against him and God in the wilderness. Elijah had Ahab, who called Elijah troublesome, and Jezebel, Ahab's wife, who was after him for killing all of her priests of Baal. Now, after this vivid prayer experience, I imagine Jesus talking to the disciples about this prayer. What he's seen, what he's heard. And then Peter goes off on this little building scheme. And God or Jesus, somehow there's a voice that says, "Peter, shut up, that's not helpful." That's not what Jesus needed to hear, or God needed to hear at that moment. You see, the truth is, we Protestants, many of us in the Protestant tradition, often see prayer as a time when we talk to God, detailing our hurts and our wants and our... And that does have its place. I'm not taking anything away from it. God wants to hear from us. But what the story of the Transfiguration does is it says there's a time when we have to stop talking. There's a time when we have to listen to what God has to say. The author of 2 Peter says this when he writes, "You will do well to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the morning star rises in your hearts." We need to be attentive to God, to listen to God. Because you see, what we want is not necessarily what God wants. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase of the Bible entitled The Message, paraphrases this passage from 2 Peter this way. "The prophetic word was confirmed to us. You'll do well to keep focusing on it. It's the one light you have in a dark time as you wait for daybreak and the rising of the morning star in your hearts. The main thing to keep in mind here is that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of private opinion." We are not to advise God, but we are to let God advise us. And that for God to be able to do that, or for us to be able to allow God to do that, we have to shut up at times and listen. And you might ask, how can we do this? We can do it by being quiet for a time. One of the ways that I've suggested numerous times from this pulpit and to people personally or privately is to have times when you read the Bible, you read a passage, and then after you read it once, you sit there in quiet and you ask, what word or phrase stood out to me in what I just read? Well, another way to think about it is, as you're reading, there's a word or a phrase that you just... it sticks in your mind as you're going through and you keep coming back to it. What is that word? What is that phrase? And once you have it, you read the passage again. You can read it out loud or you can read it to yourself, but you read the passage a second time. And then after that, you sit in quiet and you think, why did that word or why did that passage a phrase stick out to me? What is it about that word? What is it about that passage? And when you think you've got a handle on that, you read the passage again for a third time. And this time, after you read it, you sit in quiet and you ask yourself, what am I supposed to be getting from that word or that phrase? What does God want me to hear in that? And then you can leave it there, or better yet, you can have a little notebook and write down some thoughts about what you think God is telling you about that word or that phrase and what it means for your life at that moment of your life. That's a way of reading the Bible that is very old. It's called Lectio Divina. And it's a way of letting God speak to us through the Scriptures. Of praying the Scriptures and then listening to what God has to say. Another way you can do it is just to read a passage and then sit quietly, counting your breaths, maybe even as you center yourself, and just let that, what you just read, work on you, work within you, and see what comes to the percolates to the top. The idea of these two ways is to not force our ideas on our minds or on God, but to let God speak through us. Let God inform us. Let God challenge us. Let God give us a vision. One of the greatest experiences of prayer, besides the Transfiguration prayer, that is kind of like it, is that of Martin Luther King's speech right before he was killed in Memphis, Tennessee. Now, I'm not equating Martin Luther King with Jesus, but I think this is a speech that came forth from a prayer experience. He says, "Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind like anybody. I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Now, I don't think King had literally stood on the mountaintop and looked over into the promised land. I don't think he literally saw Jesus coming. But it came out of an experience of prayer for him, where he experienced a vision of those things. And he knew that God would get the black people through to the promised land. And he was going to continue his crusade, even though it was a dangerous one for him. Jesus had predicted his death before the Transfiguration. And when he went down from the mountain, he was on his way to Jerusalem. He knew that he was going to die. Because we know that because he told the disciples, "Don't tell anyone about what just happened until after I'm gone." I often say and share from his pulpit that the Transfiguration prayer experience is the beginning of the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember that prayer where Jesus sweat was like great drops of blood. And he asked God to let the cup pass from him. "I don't want to go through this." But he ended it by saying, "Not my will, but thy will be done." I think the Transfiguration experience and the Gethsemane experience are two parts of a prayer. And it was the Transfiguration prayer, or the Transfiguration experience, that gave him the power, the strength, and the courage to say, "Not my will, but thy will be done." I don't think he could have said those words without the Transfiguration experience. The Bible and God will always speak to us if we let them. They will always help us. They will always teach us. And they will always love us if we let them. God can and does speak to us through every scripture passage. And if we don't give up on God, and if we will just shut up and listen, we will hear what God has to say to us. Amen.